Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Tuesday, October 8th, hope you're having a great day, and we have got a lot to talk about this morning. Thanks for joining us on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is such a pretty time of year, especially in the places where we do get the fall colors. Super nice. As a matter of fact, over the weekend, I was in Alexandria, Virginia, where we started to see the fall colors, about 2 hours west of Minneapolis, for the beautiful Catholic Women's Conference put on by Women in New Evangelization, or WINE. Close to 500 women in attendance talking all about hope. So it was a great day. Myself, Kitty Cleveland, and Kelly Walquist, the founders of WINE. A lot of fun. Thanks to all the ladies in Alexandria who did such a great job of pulling everything together. Again, today on the program, we're going to have plenty of time for you to ask questions of Dr. Meg Meeker. She is one of the heroes out there on the front lines in the medical community, really speaking the truth about what's happening to our young people with these puberty-blocking drugs. And the so-called centers for research that are pressuring and really telling children they need to take these drugs and their parents right away if they even question at all who they are. If they're wondering, gosh, I have some weird feelings, I'm not sure about them, they say, okay, take these drugs. And then there are stories out there showing most recently how bad these drugs are for you. And the federal government producing this research, now you've got certain media outlets who have totally sold out to the extremists in terms of these issues and are saying, oh, no, it's fake news. Now, why wouldn't you, first of all, well, I guess that's why. They don't consider the source anymore. I think I shared that story with you a couple weeks ago. There's a tip sheet going around telling reporters, and this tip sheet is from a reputable, or used to be reputable, think tank, journalism think tank, and they send out suggestion sheets for editors and producers and reporters in print and whatnot. And they're telling reporters to not consider the motive of the whistleblower. That's not necessary. So basically giving any person who has a grudge carte blanche. That is rule number one in journalism, consider the source. I don't care if it's a whistleblower or not. You have to consider where the source is coming from. Do they have a grudge? Is there money attached? What is the reason for them coming forward with something, giving you a tip or telling you about a story? You always check your source. Well, not if you want to push agenda. So here they're ignoring the sources, which are not coming from a religious perspective, but are coming from a medical research perspective, and saying, oh, no, it's fake. It's fake news. So they can perpetuate this myth, this fiction, that these types of drugs are not harmful. And then the stories, just as in the pro-life movement and the abortion industry, just these women who speak out, men who speak out about what abortion has done, it wasn't an easy fix to their problem. How many thousands of women and men, you just heard, I think you'll hear today, I read it earlier, about Vicky Thorne. She's getting a major award at Notre Dame for her great work that she's done in post-abortive healing. She has done so much research, and she's been at this for decades. Apparently, she's still employed. Why? Because this is a big problem. But not according to the world and those who treat abortion as a sacrament. And how about the poor women who were wondering if any of the babies that were, quote-unquote, preserved, the bodies of the babies that were preserved by abortionist Klopfer, died last month, were calling up hysterical to various pro-life offices in Indiana, to various sources saying, were one of those bodies, was that my baby? Traumatic. So if abortion's no big deal, if it's just a blob of tissue, why the emotion? Why the curiosity? Why the concern and the heartbreak? And yet, that angle of the story, when the Klopfer story broke, did not get out there. It did on our radio stations and on other outlets, conservative and other Christian outlets, but never made the light of day. in the majority of the secular media. Very sad. So we'll take a look at this evidence and the growing evidence showing the problems with these puberty-blocking drugs, to challenge you to make sure you get the information so you can educate others. And then Steve Ray joins us. He's back in the Holy Land. He's going to talk about Yom Kippur. You know, as Catholics, we have a lot of Jewish roots. And when you go over to the Holy Land, you recognize this. And when you read Scripture, especially obviously the Old Testament, well, even the New Testament, because Jesus was Jewish. But it's really fascinating to see the connection and the fulfillment from the Old Testament to the New. So Steve will be joining us live from the Holy Land. That's coming up. And of course, we'll have plenty of questions, I'm sure, from you. Right now, we do need to get to the news on a Tuesday morning, October 8th, 2019. It's Catholic Connection, a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN. Well, victims sexually abused by Catholic clergy in Colorado can now file claims for compensation. The Catholic Church hiring Kenneth Feinberg to run a reparations program there in which victims' identities can remain confidential. Feinberg was the administrator for similar programs in New York, New Jersey, California, and Pennsylvania. So far, there are 65 known claims in Colorado that are eligible for review. Pope Francis says the Holy Spirit will guide the process of the Synod, speaking in Spanish in his opening remarks to the Amazon Synod yesterday in Rome, the Holy Father calling the Holy Spirit the main actor. Indiana bishops are calling on the president to reverse a decision reinstating the death penalty for federal inmates. They call that decision regrettable, unnecessary, and morally unjustified. The statement comes as the church celebrates Respect Life Month in the U.S. Witnesses to a deadly shooting at a Kansas City, Kansas bar remembering those who lost their lives. Jose Valdez, a bartender at the Tequila KC bar, says he refused to serve one of the suspects.
I could tell in his face. When he came in, he looked like the devil.
Four people were killed and five others were hurt when two gunmen opened fire at the bar early Sunday morning. One of the two suspects later arrested in Kansas City, Missouri. The other remains at large. Mark Mayfield explains President Trump is praising the new U.S. trade deal with Japan.
They will create countless jobs, expand investment and commerce, reduce our trade deficit very substantially, promote fairness and reciprocity, and unlock the vast opportunities for growth.
Speaking at the White House, Trump said the deal is a win-win proposition for both countries. He also called it a game-changer for U.S. farmers and ranchers. The accord covers agricultural exports and digital trade. Trump said the deal helps create a level playing field on trade. Meantime, he again pressed the Federal Reserve to be more aggressive about cutting interest rates. Trump argued that U.S. growth would become a rocket ship with lower rates.
Auto repair shops are now feeling the pinch from the United Auto Workers strike against General Motors. Tim Anderson is with Automotive Authority in suburban Detroit and says not only are they having to call in favors, they've been forced to get pretty creative.
We had a client that had a Regal that the exhaust is only GM available. There's no aftermarket availability for it, and I had to have somebody make a piece for me.
Parts are in short supply with production stopped for more than 3 weeks. Lori Loughlin might be facing a harsher sentence than Felicity Huffman for her alleged role in the college admissions scandal. Andrew Lelling, the U.S. attorney behind the actress's prosecution, opening up about what he believes may be in store for her.
We would probably ask for a higher sentence for her than we did for Felicity Huffman. I can't tell you exactly what that would be, but it's tough to tell at this point.
Prosecutors say Loughlin paid $500,000 to have her daughters recruited to USC's rowing team, even though they never, ever played the sport. First Lady Melania Trump is calling on e-cigarette manufacturers to stop marketing to children.
It is important to me that we all work to educate children and families about the dangers associated with this habit. Marketing these addictive products to children must stop.
During a visit to the Drug Enforcement Administration yesterday, the First Lady saying she will continue to address addiction in her Be Best initiative as long as it affects children. Mrs. Trump encouraging children who struggle with addiction to admit it, talk about it, and seek help. Her visit, by the way, marks the first time a First Lady has ever paid a visit to the DEA. And Sean Gallagher reports that Kroger, meanwhile, will stop selling e-cigarettes and related products soon.
The Cincinnati-based grocery store chain is joining the likes of Walmart and Walgreens in discontinuing their sales of vaping products. Kroger says they made the decision due to the mounting questions and increasingly complex regulatory environment associated with the products. There have been at least 18 confirmed deaths in the U.S. due to a vaping illness, with over 1,000 cases currently under investigation nationwide. The chain will stop sales once its current inventory runs out.
Pro-Trump t-shirts that went on sale yesterday are reportedly selling very well. Minneapolis Police Lieutenant Bob Kroll says the design and sale of the Cops or Trump shirts came after the Minneapolis Police Department's new uniform policy that will ban off-duty officers from being in uniform during the Trump's rally this week. Kroll says he believes the policy is a direct response to the president's visit, something the department is denying. The new Cops or Trump shirt selling nationwide, with the money made from the sales going directly to charity. And the company behind the popular online game Fortnite being sued over claims they deliberately made the game addictive. The suit against North Carolina-based Epic Games was filed Friday in Quebec. The game is a cash cow for the company, bringing in $3 billion, yes, you heard correctly, $3 billion last year alone. The lawsuit claims that Epic Games hired psychologists to make the game addictive. Almost 12 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Tuesday in fall, this great month of October, great month of saints, pro-life month, month of the rosary, Our Lady. 877-573-7825 is our phone number if you'd like to speak with Dr. Meg Meeker. She has been challenging what the culture has been saying about all of this gender, well, all these issues. And we want to call it gender dysphoria because that's what it is. And it's very important for us to be caring and loving, yes, but to give people the truth and not to suppress information when it comes from reputable sources. There are more and more studies coming forward showing the damage that these puberty-blocking drugs do to kids. Dr. Meg Meeker has been speaking out about this, and she joins us, and we'll have her reaction to this latest report and efforts by the media to suppress it. 877-573-7825. It's a Tuesday. You're listening to Catholic Connection. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back as we say in Radio Land.
Whether you want to stay cool in the summer or warm in the winter, your HVAC systems need to be running right, and that is exactly what my dad does.
Hi, I'm Ron Garmo from Running Right Heating and Cooling. We install, service, and maintain both commercial and residential units. We also install generators for those times when storms knock out power. Call today at 248-884-1704.
Or find Running Right Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook.
Enjoy a free concert by Leo Lemery and guest artist Marisa Brzezinski, who will play the works of Franz Liszt for piano, organ, and trumpet on Saturday, October 12th at 7 p.m. at Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Brighton. Free will donations for this second annual fundraising event go to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Hors d'oeuvres will follow the program. For more details, please see hsrcc.net or call 810-231-9199.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Join the Legion of Mary at the Rosary Rally at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Detroit on Sunday, October 13th, beginning at 1 p.m. Join the faithful as they pray for strength and unity of families, an increase in vocations, the healing of our country, the sanctity of life, and other intentions. The Rosary will be followed by the Divine Mercy Chaplet and Holy Mass with Father Alex Kraft. Please see LegionOfMaryMichigan.org. That's LegionOfMaryMichigan.org.
Meg Meeker has been speaking out about this ever since this became an issue. And really, I think Meg started to see this shortly after the Supreme Court decision on so-called same-sex marriage. Prior to that, think about it. When did we hear all of this talk of the gender issues and transgender this? And I don't remember ever seeing something come upon us so quickly. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I think I've told you this before. I'm in a group of 8 physicians, and when this all became more popularized, I asked everybody, I said, we've been here a long time. How many true transgender people have you seen? And they all sort of looked at each other. In 30 years, I've seen one. And they all said, I don't know. The true incidence of real transgender is less than 1%, probably less than 0.5%. And by that I mean the kids who are born who 5 or 6 are just very uncomfortable with their bodies. They feel like their body, they're living inside somebody else's body. That's not what's going on today. And people get very angry, but I say this, a lot of this transgender stuff is a fad. Parents know it, because they see it. You don't just see an explosion of this transgender focus for no reason. It's a social construct. It's a movement created by a few people who want to popularize this transgender thing. It's very odd.
And we're seeing more and more evidence showing the problems, and you've been talking about this for a while, these puberty-blocking drugs cause, and there's a report from the FDA, which was updated to the Christian Post on October 4th, and saying that their statistics are accurate because many media outlets, starting with the New York Times, tried to suppress it, saying it was all fake news. And this, to me, is frightening when the media are supposed to be putting out information to help the public and let the public decide. Just as I was mentioning earlier, especially with the abortion issue, they ignore the fallout, the women, the men who have so many problems when they have an abortion in their lives and connected to it, all of the medical issues that occur, all the problems at the facilities that aren't regulated. It goes on and on, things that the media ignore. Any other area would be a Pulitzer Prize-winning story. And yet here to get behind another agenda, they do not put this information out there. Now, we put it out, the Christian Post put it out, other Catholic, Christian, and conservative outlets, but out there in the quote-unquote mainstream, they're ignoring it.
Well, you know, a lot of the news media, of course, you know, not you, but your mainstream media, we no longer have reporters or activists. And so what they do is they see a trend, a social trend they believe in, they like, and they get behind it. And they either suppress the truth and they run with their ideology. So we have to be very, very careful, particularly when it comes to medical information and reading about quote-unquote medical information through a secular media outlet, New York Times and so forth, even USA Today. This is dangerous. This is very, very dangerous. And what's happening now is unprecedented. In the medical community, we physicians who give treatments for issues, problems, pneumonia, that kind of thing, always pride ourselves on giving treatments that have been tried, which have reproducible good outcomes. In other words, penicillin, amoxicillin, regularly over and over treat stress throat, okay? But when it comes to this transgender issue, which is enormous, physicians are implementing very potent drugs, hormones, talking about surgical treatments in kids without any reproducible evidence that it gives a good outcome. This is a medical first. And I think that physicians who are doing this to children should be ashamed. Because not only is it wrong to do to children, it's also medically, I believe, malpractice. And this is really serious stuff, because what we're talking about is interfering with a 13, 14, 15-year-old girl or boy. It's rendering them infertile. So we're making decisions and helping these 15, 14-year-olds make lifelong decisions that are going to impact them for the rest of their lives. What if they turn 30 and go, you know, I'm wrong. I don't want to be a boy. I really want to reproduce and have children. Sorry, too late. This is huge, Teresa.
It is huge, and we're seeing stories about just what you mentioned, people who are regretting the surgery and want to turn things around, and they can't.
Absolutely. But I think that the idea of taking a child and who says, and this is a fad in Hollywood, okay, I'm going to let my five-year-old decide if he wants to be a girl or a boy. If you want to really mess a kid's mind up, do that. You know, but it really confuses the daylights out of kids, because 99.9% of kids are born with a sense of who they are. I'm a boy, I'm a girl. And if you take them out of that belief and say, well, you know what, you really could be a girl, why don't you think about that? The child goes, wait a minute, I thought I was a boy, maybe my mom's right, maybe I should think about that. So it absolutely twists a child's mind at a very early age. And so psychologically, it really messes with healthy emotional development of these kids. All because parents in Hollywood are, you know, want to be cool, they want to be edgy, they want to let people know that they're liberal, that they're not going to stop their children from being who they are. But what they're really doing is pushing their kids into being something they want them to be, and they're not allowing kids to be who they are, which is a boy or a girl.
Where are these kids getting these ideas from? Because I'm sorry, just like I wanted to talk to you last week, I don't think we were able to, and I was traveling, but there's a story that came out, I'm sure you saw it, about Barbie. Did you see what Mattel's doing now? They have a non-gender, a gender-free doll that you can dress up as a boy or a girl. They're calling it Creatable World. And they said, we're doing it in response to all the children. And I burst out laughing when I read this. I mean, you have to laugh or else you'll cry. All the children that are saying they want their toys to be gender neutral. How many children do you know go up to you as a grandmother or me as a great auntie or an aunt saying, gee, I want gender neutral dolls?
Right. No. Kids have no clue what this is. And even if they did, their instincts are telling them, that's not me. No, that's not me, that's not me. Again, we're seeing, and this is how destructive social movements start. They start with a very small group of people, grassroots people, who are angry. And they let their anger rip. And so they create a movement, and then, this is the brilliance of what they do. They publicize that through media, through social media, through entertainment, and they brainwash people to believe that this is normal. This is the way life is, and that's how you capture the minds of kids. It's advertising, pure and simple advertising. First, to make parents believe that this is normal in child development. And second, it's not only normal, but if you want to be a healthy parent, you will help your child down this path. And so that's how it all takes hold and takes root. And yet I wonder, where are the people like us who go, wait a minute, you guys are crazy. We're not going to put up with it. We're not going to buy your gender-neutral Barbies. As a matter of fact, we're going to all write Mattel, and we're going to have a campaign. Get them out of our stores, because this is harmful to children.
And also, the whole idea of the title of the dolls, I thought, was very, very important to understand the messaging. Creatable World. We want to act like God. We want to create, right?
Right. Right, exactly. And God warned us about this in the Old Testament, didn't he? He said, you know, honor the Lord your God. But you are not God, and you can't be God. You are not the one to make moral right and wrong. That's my standard. You know, you are not the one to create male and female. I do that, and it was very clear. See how I did it. And when you live in a culture, and we've seen this over the past 20 years, that breaks down any moral foundation, that takes God out of every conversation, and that allows the abnormal to become normal. Then we have chaos. Mm-hmm. And we have people believing they can create reality. And that's where we are right now.
Well, then we see that everywhere. We see that in so many different places. It's an upside down world. It's Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole. It's evil is good, good is evil,
right.
and we're the bad guys. And everything that they do is projected onto us.
Right. Oh well. You know.
Yeah.
Oh well. We have to. You know, it's like I told my kids when they were in high school. You know. I believe you're not to be sexually active. I don't want you to be. I don't want you drinking. I don't want you to do drugs. I don't want you to watch certain movies. And if you're with friends who are doing that, tell them you need to leave because you have crazy mom. Oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Gotta leave. My mom's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's nuts. Oh well. I am willing to look nuts to a world that really is crazy in order to protect
your
kids.
Children. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's take a break. If you have a question for Dr. Meg, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. I don't care what you say, what you try to create, we are not God. He is a creator. We are not. He is God. We are not. We'll be right back. We need to know how the media, the culture works so they don't work on us. Thank you, Archbishop Chaput from Philadelphia. Great quote. I use it all the time because it's so apropos. 877-573-7825. Talking about the problem, we don't have all the information now. We really have to be our own researchers and reporters when it comes to issues, especially issues that affect us so personally and our families. We're talking with Dr. Meg Meeker about this gender push that's out there right now, this gender ideology. 877-573-7825. And there are medical people in research facilities.
Oh.
For example, there was a story that they're still investigating over in Great Britain, where employees at this research hospital, whatever it is, supposedly helping kids transition, they started to see these kids given these puberty blocking drugs, Meg, right away without barely even talking to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then they're saying, wait a minute, this equals child abuse. What is going on? And some of them were fired, and they're trying to silence them. It's very, very frightening.
It is very frightening. And think about this. In every other medical, quote-unquote, problem that needs to be fixed, we have a way of diagnosing it. You know, somebody with depression, somebody with anxiety, we can go through a list of symptoms that person has and says, this is what you have, this is what you don't have. When it comes to transgender issues, the only thing we have to go on is how the child feels. That's it. There's nothing else there, or how the adult feels. I feel strongly that I'm a boy, or I feel strongly that I'm a girl. There are no other symptoms that we can identify. The only way we can diagnose it is on a person's feelings. And you don't intervene medically. You don't castrate young boys or you know, render girls infertile because of their feelings. And so that should tip people off, if nothing else.
So why are so many parents succumbing to this, do you think, Meg, so quickly?
Fear. They're afraid to speak out. They're afraid that they will have eggs thrown at their house, or you know, people show up at their kids' school afraid. That's it. That's the only reason. Because 99% of Americans, parents out there, know that this isn't healthy and they know it's wrong. But they don't want to say anything because they're gonna get the backlash of the angry, loud minority. And I had a conversation with a person who was an angry, loud minority and said, you can't say that. And I looked back and I said, you need to be more tolerant of my ideas. So we need to take the language they use
right.
and turn it on them. Say, you know, it seems to me you're not being very open-minded. It seems to me, there was a college recently that was campaigning for free speech, or they had a person come and speak on their campus about free speech, and they had protesters there protesting free speech. And here they're utilizing free speech. You know, people don't understand.
I mean, it's like, how do you even? It's just, are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. It's just crazy. So we, who have strong beliefs of right and wrong and what's healthy for kids and healthy
right.
for young adults, don't want to say anything because we're afraid we're going to be verbally bludgeoned.
Well, too bad. You know what? When did Jesus say it was a walk in the park? I mean, now I can understand being, nobody likes that, the confrontation. It's not pleasant, okay?
Right.
But this is the way the left and these extremists have been able to get away with this stuff, because too many of us have been silent. And not only fear, but we're taught as Christians to be nice to the point where I think we misunderstand what that means. I mean, there's no mercy without truth. There's no real mercy without truth.
Exactly. And what we confuse is mercy and acceptance,
right,
with loving truth. You know, we can disagree and we can talk to people about our disagreements and love them, but it doesn't mean we give up our beliefs and our truth. And so I think the burden is on us to learn how to talk about issues like this in a clear and truthful and matter-of-fact way where we're not angry. And that's why I encourage every single parent out there to arm themselves with medical facts. And just say, we know that people, the kids who transition in their teen years, 75% of them in their 20s wish they hadn't, or 75% of kids who don't transition end up identifying with their genetic sex in their 20s. That the people who do transition in their 20s are 7 times higher risk of committing suicide.
Mm-hmm.
This is really important stuff, and if parents know these fundamental facts, then they can say, now wait a minute, I understand your argument, but here's what the medical research says. What do you say about that? And what do you say about the fact that it's okay to render 15, 16, 18-year-old kids infertile? Think about this. Even people who are evolutionists, okay, this doesn't make sense from an evolutionary standpoint, because if you make everybody infertile, they're going to die out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's so many ways we can come at this argument and say, wait a minute, this doesn't quite make sense to me.
Yeah, and then when you start asking questions, most people don't have the answers because they haven't read past the headlines and the emotional paragraphs or the tweets, and they don't want to get into confrontation, so they automatically respond with the generic media, leftist language.
They're talking points,
and then once you start asking them questions, just like with the abortion issue, well, is this what you mean, and do you really support this, and well, you say you're personally opposed, well, how can you be personally opposed and then support abortion in every other way, shape, and form? So you ask those questions nicely. You don't have to yell or scream. And
exactly.
Then you get them to think about it. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But we've just got to get some guts here and stand up and say enough. Because you've got children, as you say, this is abuse.
This is abuse. Yeah, this is abuse. And if you've got kids in a public school, I encourage you to put them into a Catholic school, a Christian school, homeschool, anything where you have control, where biblical values are taught, because there's so much going on. Because I do this. I look at public school curricula, sex ed curriculum stuff, and it's really upside down. But I think you're absolutely right, Teresa. I think that coming into these conversations, asking questions, rather than, just hitting people over the head and they hit you over the head. You know,
you don't get anywhere, right.
Even with abortion, you can say, like, there's a 15, 16, 18-week fetus. Do you think they feel pain?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, they do feel pain. You know, they do feel pain. So is it? So even just stuff like that, ask questions and sit there and listen, because they will tie themselves in knots. You don't need to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have to raise the questions, and then you can refer them to resources. Speaking of which, your website is great because you've written a number of articles on this topic, MegBeakerMD.com. Where else would you suggest they go for information, Meg, on this particular topic?
Well, I think that, there's so many different places. What I will do is I will go in Google, and I'll say scholarly articles on transgender. Scholarly articles on transgender. And then you cruise down, and you'll start to see a lot of the good medical data starting to surface, and you can read through that. And I think that any solid Catholic, website, listens to radio programs, because, as I said, the news media is secular media. These aren't journalists. These are activists.
And propagandists. Yeah, and also I think your website, MegMeekerMD.com, Catholic News Agency, and gosh, there's so many resources out there. And Walter Heyer, who became a woman and then, well, he trans, you know, had some changes made, never was a woman, then went back to the physical attributes and became man again. He's got some great information, too. Thanks, Meg. We'll be right back on a Tuesday.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Join approximately 1,000 women from the Diocese of Lansing and from across the state of Michigan to be inspired and renewed in our faith at the Catholic Women's Conference at the Lansing Center. Enjoy praise and worship music, listen to motivating speakers, celebrate Holy Mass with Bishop Oye, and experience the fellowship of sisterhood in Christ Jesus. The event is Saturday, October 12th. To see the tremendous speakers list, go to LansingDiocesecwc.org. That's LansingDiocesecwc.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. You know, it's always hard to figure out how to describe the situation when we see this gender dysphoria going on, when you're talking about this surgery, because you cannot change who you are DNA-wise. Maybe some physical attributes and things, but I was mentioning Walt Heyer, and I would definitely check out his website, Walt Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R. He's got a lot of articles and a lot of information on what was done to him and the mistakes that he made and how he finally was able to reunite with his children and heal. And he's talking about the high suicide rate that Dr. Meg mentioned. Anyway, moving right along, a lot to cover this morning, and we go over now to the Holy Land, where we find our dear friend Steve Ray with a different topic for today, but an important one if we understand our roots as Catholics connected to the Jewish faith. Hey, Steve, good to talk to you again.
Hello, Lakisa. Happy Yom Kippur.
Yes, and you are already over there in Israel waiting for your group to arrive, and they arrive the day after tomorrow, so you have a little time to relax, which is nice. So what is important about Catholics understanding Yom Kippur, would you say?
The whole understanding that's important for us as Catholics is that the Old Testament prepares the way for the New Testament. Everything in the Old is a setup, a foundation, a preparation, a trajectory, which is going to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when we are now in this, in the church and in the new covenant, look back through Jesus and put him like a lens. If you say, set him up as a lens and you look through him back, everything in the Old Testament seen through Christ is a preparation for everything that we have in Christ. For example, when they went through the Red Sea coming out of Egypt, that was a preparation, a picture, a vision of us going through water baptism. So everything in the Old Testament is a preparation for the new. So when we look at Yom Kippur, which is where we're, what's happening here today, it's starting right now, actually. Yom Kippur starts in the evening, and then tomorrow it goes on through the whole day until evening. It is a picture and an explanation of everything that Jesus Christ did for us to make atonement for our sins, to expiate our sins. So the Jews today, they're fasting, they're praying, they're depriving themselves of of marital relations, of showers, of washing, of eating, of going out and doing anything. And in doing this, they're making expiation for their sins. It's a way of making atonement for their sins. But as Christians, we realize that that has been done for us in Jesus Christ. So what it is, it's looking back. The Old Testament is preparing us for what we see in Christ. So everything, when we look at Yom Kippur today, it's all about the sacrifice and atonement of our sins to Christ.
So what's it like there during Yom Kippur?
Twilight Zone, Teresa. I wish I could play the Twilight Zone music for you. And I say that because normally where we're at here in the Notre Dame, as you know, it's right in the middle of everything. And there's cars buzzing and honking and traffic and trucks and buses everywhere. But right now, starting about an hour ago, everything went unearthly silent. It's a very strange thing. We've been here on Yom Kippur before. No cars in the streets. In fact, police are blocking the streets. They don't let you drive in the streets. We had to get here to our hotel early in the day because the main highways will be blocked off. You can't drive. Everybody is stopping what they're doing for this one day of the year. And Yom Kippur, Yom means day, Kippur means of atonement, day of atonement. So this is the great day of atonement where everybody's praying to have their sins forgiven. And they're in a way, they're setting those fasting and setting the stage for the rest of the year. This will determine whether their name is in the book of life or not, how they handle this day. But it's like Twilight Zone. And you know, Krista, last time we were here on Yom Kippur, it was really funny because the main road, you know where it is, right in front of Notre Dame Center,
right.
Which is packed with people and cars and buses. Nobody's out there. So these kids were making a point of how strange it was, and they dragged a couch. Couple couches out onto the main road, and they're sitting out on the couches talking in their iPhones just because there's no cars, so they got a couch right in the middle of the road.
Wow.
And they're just out there talking on the couch just to emphasize the fact that there are no cars today. It is a dead city today. Everybody is back in their homes praying, fasting, and asking God to forgive their sins.
So what about, I'm sure the Notre Dame Center, because the Pilgrims has the restaurants are open now, but what about when you cross the street, because you're right by the Christian Quarter in the Old City, because it's a Christian Quarter, will that still be open? Can you still get to the Holy Sepulchre and do all the things that Pilgrims want to do?
You can, but you can do all of those things, but you can't drive. So in other words, last time we were here on Yom Kippur, we went to Bethlehem that day because in Bethlehem, obviously, that's Palestinian, that's Arab area. They're not under the idea of the Yom Kippur. That's for the Jews. So you have to plan, if you have groups here, which we always do, you have to plan that you walk from Notre Dame and you do a walking tour to the Holy Sepulchre and other places like Mount Zion and so on, because you just can't get there in cars or buses. It's totally restricted. So you can go into the New Gate and go into the Christian Quarter, and there'll be restaurants and things open there, but that's because it's the Christian area. But Israel itself is shut down now because this is the vast majority. I mean, Christians only are a very small, small percentage of people here,
right.
And the vast majority is at 6.5 million Catholics, Jews that live here, so that's predominantly the culture of Israel.
We're talking with Steve Ray about Yom Kippur. He is in Israel, actually in Jerusalem, staying at the Notre Dame Center right across from the Old City. So where does this holy day come from in the Bible?
It comes from the book of Leviticus, and it's different than it is now because they don't have the temple anymore. When Moses built the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then later when Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, this all centered around the temple because that was the one day that Aaron the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. So picture this, you've got the huge temple compound. Even the Gentiles could come into the outer courts and do business and talk to people, whatever. But once you got towards the center, it was only for Jews, and there was a wall that kept everybody, any Gentiles, out. And it's a death to any Gentile that goes past this point. Only the Jews could come and have access near God. So the Jews could come into the temple area, but as you went higher up and further in, you came eventually to this one holy sanctified area called the Holy of Holies. And there's a 4-inch curtain that is blocking anybody from going in there. And in there is the Ark of the Covenant, and the Shekinah glory cloud of God could be seen bubbling above the Ark of the Covenant. No one ever dared go into there. You could not go in there. And even Aaron the high priest could not go in there except one day of the year, today, Yom Kippur. I say today because it's the evening of, so it's the evening of and then all day tomorrow. So only Aaron the high priest could enter in, and he brought the blood of the sacrifice, and he sprinkled it in the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, and he made atonement for the sins of the people. And then they had one goat, two goats actually. They prayed this for the sins of Israel to go on those goats, and one of them they kill, and they use the blood for the atonement for sins. And the other goat, he's called the scapegoat. All the sins of Israel were prayed onto that goat. You see pictures of the priest's hands on the goat and the sins going on, and then the goat goes out to die in the wilderness. And this is all a picture of Jesus taking our sins, dying in our place. He becomes the sin bearer for us, the scapegoat who takes our sins. All the sins of the world are placed on him, and he goes out and he dies carrying our sin. But the high priest, they used to have to put a rope around his ankle, and he had bells on the bottom of his rope so that when he walked into the Holy of Holies, you'd hear ding, 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 ding. And if he had not prepared himself, he had to wash seven times, he had to do all these special preparations before he dared go in there to be the presence of God. And if he wasn't prepared perfectly, he would die instantly. And how do you get him out? Who's going to go in and get him out? So they tied a rope around his ankle, and if you heard the bell stop ringing, then they would pull him out by the ropes with his ankle.
Wow.
This was part of the high and holy day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, they don't have the temple anymore, so they can't do that with the goats and things anymore, but they still have the fasting and the depriving of themselves to prepare themselves for the to have their names in the book of life. They say, we afflict our souls. We abstain from food and drink. We do not wash or anoint our bodies. We do not wear leather footwear. We abstain from marital relations. And we call on God to forgive us our sins.
Wow. So after Yom Kippur, there's a festival, and it's a week long. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's called Sukkot, or the Feast Festival of Booths. And already, we were here 2 weeks ago in Israel. We only came home for about 6 days and came back again with another group. But they're already preparing this. And what it's, families do here, it's called Sukkot or Booths. And it is, it was basically what it is they, when they came out of Egypt, they lived in temporary shelters. And they didn't have permanent homes. And they were built out of bushes, and they had palm branches on the top of them and so on. So when they came into the land, God said, I don't want you to ever forget what your experience was. And I don't want you to let your children forget what happened to you in Egypt and how I brought you out and how you lived in temporary shelters until I brought you here to the land where you now have nice homes. So 1 week out of every year, Sukkot, right after the Yom Kippur, they have to build what's called a booth. And it's really interesting to see the different kinds of booths that they have. And they are built outside. They are traditionally, and the Jews, you know, get around this some ways, but they are supposed to live outside in that booth and not in their house for a week. And
wow.
They're supposed to be kind to strangers. They have to eat all their meals out there. And it's all under these palm branches above the top. So, if you, if for example, right here from where we are, we can see a Jewish family in an apartment, and what they did is they have put their front porch, it's like a third story up, and they have palm branches covering over the porch. They built a little rack kind of above their porch, and they put all these palm branches, so they will eat all their meals out on their, on the deck of their apartment. And so they'll sit there under the palm branches. There. Remember when Peter said to Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let me build a booth for you and for Elijah and for Moses. And people say, what a dumb thing to say. Why would he want to build a booth or a tent out there for them? You know, but he was very smart because they were there during the time of Sukkot or the Festival of Booths. And what Peter was saying is, Lord, let's do what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to build, by the Old Testament book of Leviticus, tells us we have to build a booth. And we have to, well, I'll build one for you and I'll build one for Elijah and one for Moses just to honor you all. And so he was really saying something very astute and very timely. But it says that Jesus said no, and then they disappeared and said that they saw Jesus alone, which in the Transfiguration is very important because Jesus is the central figure. He stood there alone at the end. But that was taking place during the Festival of Booths. That's why Peter said that.
Wow. So you say before we let you go, there's a really good movie to watch if you're interested in learning more. What is that? Tell us about it.
Janet and I love this movie. It's called Ush Kivan. And U-S-H-P-I-V-O-N, I think it is. And it's a marvelous movie of a Orthodox religious Jewish family, a husband and a wife, actually, and he was a criminal and in prison, and he has this great conversion experience, and he, as a Jew, he becomes faithful to the traditions of his people, and so he starts to wear the yarmulke and dress and do everything that the Jews do. Well, there I picture of Abraham and Sarah, and they don't have any children, and it's a marvelous story of how they go through this whole period of time. They have these two criminals that come and stay with them, but they don't want to kick them out because they're supposed to be kind to strangers. That's one of the things about Sukkot, is that you have to, because others were kind to you, you have to show hospitality to others. So they have taken these two guys into their booth that they've built outside their house, but they find out halfway through the week that these guys are criminals and they're ripping them off and stealing. But the wife says, "We can't kick them out. If you kick them out, God bless you, will not come. We will never have a baby." So it's just a marvelous story of Jewish people and how they relate to God. It's just a heartwarming story, Janet and I watch it frequently.
Well, that's awesome. See, this is so interesting. Thank you so much, because there's so much of who we are as Catholics that has the roots in the Jewish faith and Jewish traditions, especially being that our Lord and Savior, Jesus, is Jewish. So thank you for all of that great information. Get some rest before your group comes in. So when do they come in on, let's today, Tuesday, Thursday? They come in on Thursday?
They come in on Thursday, 2:30 on Thursday, and we'll drive up to Galilee as always, and there we start our pilgrimage through the Galilee area. And then after 3 days, we come down to Bethlehem, and then the rest of the time we're here. We do the early life of Jesus up in the north. That's the way it should be done. And then we come down here to Jerusalem for the crucifixion and resurrection. And so we'll be here. It's a very nice weather here today. And we have another group coming in November. You know, Teresa, my next 8 groups to Israel are already sold out. There's not one
I'm
left.
Not surprised.
I'm all the
not
way
surprised.
Through October
of
next year. We're all sold out.
You're the best, Steve Ray, and he is a fearless pilgrimage leader and love going on pilgrimage with him. We've done the Israel tour together, I think, 13, 14 times, and most recently, earlier this year, had the opportunity also to go to Jordan, which was amazing. Steve, safe travels. Give our best to Janet, and we look forward to catching up with you on one of your near trips. Very close again. They'll have several groups, not only this year, but also next year as well. For more information on Steve's pilgrimages, CatholicConvert.com. Again, CatholicConvert.com. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. Stay tuned.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shield.
Ask the Lord today, show me what I could do to at least greatly reduce the temptation to this sin, or maybe by God's grace, eliminate it. Because it's sin, brothers and sisters, that darkens our intellect and weakens our will. That's the catechism. And we don't understand that because we're in such a sinful condition that we don't recognize how little we're seeing and how little we're hearing. We're blind and we're deaf because of sin. So what we want to do is get free of that. And sometimes it takes a year or more to conquer a sin, especially when there's a habit or a pattern of sin. Might be drugs, might be alcohol, might be sex. Just be honest with God. But we make a decision now, Lord, I want to get on that path. Help me to overcome this sin. And then ask Him, show me what the vulnerability is in me that makes me fall into that sin, that I might be able to follow you more clearly, that you might be able to use me to help others. That's what a good Christian really wants. You want the Lord to be able to use you.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey, weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Appreciate your listenership. You can find us online, AveMariaRadio.net, EWTN News, EWTN.com, I should say, or EWTNNews.com for all the great news. Tomorrow we are going to be spending the hour in Roma. Dr. Matthew Bunsen will be joining me along with Joan Lewis. So much to talk about with the Synod in Rome. Talk to you then. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.